Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. You can take your red pad and sign it and pass it down with your name, address, any information that might have changed. We would appreciate that. Note here, Carol Kane and Lynn Love would like to thank everyone for getting their reports to us in a timely manner. And they said, we appreciate it, with a big smiley face on it. And the congregational meeting will be soon, I believe, March 21st, 23rd. Okay, so be in prayer for that. And remind you, nursery care is every Sunday next door. The library is available as a crying room or coughing room. And Bible Fellowship meets every Sunday at 9:30 in the Narthex. They set up some chairs and meet at the back. The Deacon Spring Challenge, you can read about that in the food pantry, bringing food and cleaning supplies. You can talk to any deacon about it if you need to. And parents, if you'd like to have your child as an acolyte, you can talk to a deacon about that. They would love to have the children do that and the young persons doing it. And a special announcement. I'm very excited. I've always hoped this would happen. Bill Mueller, William Mueller, official name, is going to seminary at Reformed Presbyterian Seminary here in Pittsburgh. He's going to start the first week of March. He's taking a one-year certificate. What's the name of the certificate? Do you remember? Servant of the Church. It's a very good seminary, a conservative one. And so we're very excited he's going to be going. Like I said, it's a one-year program. It's very expensive, too. So anyone that would like to help the family, you can give to the church and put a designation for Bill Mueller or William Mueller on the bottom, and we'll give it through the church. Whatever the church gives, the seminary will match that amount back to. So let's see if we can help them a little bit. Both of them have been so good to our church. Let's see if we can be good back to them. No amount is too small, and I'm certain no amount is too large either. If they get too much, we'll worry about that later. Now, it can be up to $3,000 that they will match. So, Bill, we're very happy. We know that you will do well, and we'll keep you in our prayers. I believe that's all the announcements. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is number one. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe you created humanity out of a joyous heart. We worship and praise you for giving us the gift of joy. Forgive us when we are not a happy, joyful congregation. Forgive us when we are not excited about our salvation. Help us spread the good news of Jesus and his love to others can find peace in their hearts. Remind us that our joy is eternal when it is centered in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again, with a real sense of unity, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another with a sense of joy and happiness. Time for the children's sermon. Nancy Baldwin is coming forth. I have the right name up there this week. I had the wrong one last time. You want the microphone?
No, I'm fine as it is.
Okay. Let him come.
Valentine's Day, right? And when you when you're Valentine's Day, what do you normally give out? Cards. What are the cards I'm gonna have on? Love. And what? How do you express? Like, how do you express love? What symbol do we have that sort of expresses love?
Heart.
A heart. Very good. So when you see a heart, what do you guys normally think of?
Love.
Very good. And who do we love?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay. Who else do we love? God, who else? Anybody maybe down here on earth?
Parents.
Sisters.
Brothers and sisters,
okay. And they're easy to love, right? Because they love us back and they treat us nice, right? Yes, no? But sometimes we run into people who aren't so nice to us, don't we? Have you guys ever been to school and they've been mean to you at school maybe? Like at recess or something? Never been that? You know, have they ever been mean to you guys at school? Or maybe out on the playground at recess or something? Mm-hmm. Ever run into a bullet? You've been people to mean to you at school? Mm-hmm. So you run into what we call now a big bully. Yeah. And it's kind of kind of hard to love them, isn't it? How come, why is it hard to love them, to like them, even sometimes?
Because they're mean.
They're mean to us, yeah. So, but you know, God said that one of the things that we're supposed to do is to love our enemies. But that sounds like really not a really hard thing to do, doesn't it? Especially when people are being mean to us. But I'll let Jan in on a little secret. There's a really, really important reason why God wants us to love our people who are mean to us, our enemies. Because do you think that somebody who's mean to you, do you think you're happy? Do happy people make fun of other people?
No.
No, they don't. And do you think that maybe they might be scared too? So, because sometimes when we're scared, we get kind of, you know, we might be kind of mean or just, you know, irritable or cranky sometimes, right? We're scared. Maybe like on our first day of school, and you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it's a new school or you're going someplace for the very first time, you're kind of nervous. Right? Well, you have to think. If someone's being mean to you, because they're not very happy. And they're usually very sad. And they're usually scared. And so, they want somebody, but they're afraid to tell people that. Because they don't want people to make fun of them. Right? Because you don't want people to know when you're sad or scared, right? Except when you tell the people that you love. That's easy. So, the people who are being mean to you, typically, or usually, are doing that because they don't know how to be nice and they're afraid. So that's why God says that we should be nice to them and that we should bless them. Because it's not that they're being mean just because they're mean people, because you know nobody's really mean. They're just scared and they're sad. And they don't want anybody to know that. Do you think that maybe somebody, when somebody's mean to you, they might be scared or sad? So they're not really trying to be mean. They're actually trying to, you know, God lets me know that they're not feeling good. They just don't do it the right way. Kind of a very nice way, huh? So that's why God said that we should love our enemies. Because they're not really our enemies. They're just people who are scared and sad. What do you think about that? Do you think that's true? So if somebody's mean to you the next time, but when somebody came to you now, how do you normally react? How do you respond to them? Do you ignore them? Yeah. What do you do? What? You just ignore them? So what do you do when somebody came to you? You ignore them? How about?
Walk away.
Good. Walk away, okay.
What do you want them?
You ignore them? Okay. Do you think that makes somebody who's sad and scared feel better? So, while it's good to walk away from somebody who's being mean to you, God says we should actually bless them because they are scared and they are sad. And then hopefully next time they won't be mean to you. Does that make sense? So bullies, they're just people who are really scared and sad. And that's why God wants us to bless our enemies. Knows that they're suffering too. So please, can we end in a prayer? Okay. Alright. So Father, it is easy to love those who love us. Would you please help us to love our enemies so that they might know that we are your children? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Thank all of you. Wonderful. responsive reading is Psalm 51, 703 in the back of your hymnals. Psalm 51, 703. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Clean me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This time I call the elder on the door to come forward to prayer and praise requests.
We have one praise request from the Bible Fellowship class, and this praise is for Bill Mueller. We're so happy and proud of our teacher, Bill Mueller, as he is accepted into the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary. So once again, congratulations to Bill, and wish him the best in his endeavors. Please pray for Bill and his success.
As we go to the Lord, let's remember all the persons listed in our bulletin and keep praying for them. And also our newsletter as you get that. And also there are several couples from our church that are on a cruise. Let's pray for them they have a good cruise and come back refreshed. And all the persons that are not here today, let's pray for them that we'll see them soon. And think about it, who maybe normally sits next to you or in front of you or behind you and you don't see them, maybe you hadn't seen them in a couple of weeks, maybe give them a call or send them a card and tell them they're missed. Maybe they're ill, or maybe something happened that they're upset. You know what happens with people a lot of times. So let them know that you're thinking about them, and that means a lot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It's a day that we can rejoice in because we have the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we have the promise of the Holy Spirit that you sent back on the day of Pentecost that strengthens us, that helps us deal with sin and this life, helps us to be stronger in our spirit and our bonding together as the true church, not just here at Glenshaw Valley, but worldwide. Help us in every endeavor that we seek to do in our personal lives for you and our corporate life here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Everything that we do, we want to be led by your Spirit. And remind us to do it with a sense of joy and with a sense of love and happiness and excitement. Take us back, if we can remember, to that moment that we accepted you as our Savior. How clean we felt, how good we felt, the burdens that seemed to roll off of our back, and that load felt so much lighter. And as we've gone on in life, we've sinned again, and sorrows have come upon us. But we've asked that our sins be forgiven, and you've forgiven us. Thank you for that, Lord. There's so many things to rejoice about and to have a sense of joy, and we forget because we get caught up in this life and we look at the negative. Help us find the positive. Help us move forward in our lives as families, individuals, as the church, in every aspect of our life. Guide us, lead us, motivate us, inspire us, and help us to inspire others. And Lord, we lift up every prayer, every praise, some mentioned, some not mentioned, persons we've been praying for a long time, our own personal family members that we may not bring up, that live away, but we lift them all up to you this day, reminding you that they need healing, we need healing in some areas of our lives. Touch them and touch us this day. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way and teaching your disciples, and then the written word coming to us that we can peruse and grow in spirit and in faith. Thank you, and thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, a screen song, As the Deer.
Thank you. thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. May it bring each of us joy. We've not experienced that joy. Let us open up our hearts to receive that joy and that peace that only a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can bring to us and to the world. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you, to be a part of this congregation and the church worldwide, part of the kingdom of God. Use our talents and our gifts that others may hear the name of Jesus and believe and find eternal life and salvation. Help us reach out into the world, touching people's lives. Help us touch one another with love and mercy and understanding and correction even when needed. Lord, I thank you for every person that gives, every person who loves you, every person who seeks to do their best for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
While Bill's getting ready to read the scripture, he's going to be gone in June for how many weeks?
End of May, June, and July.
He's going to be gone for several months then. As you know, Bill is the treasurer, so that's going to leave a little blank spot for a while. So if somebody would like to temporarily fill in for him, Bill will help you with it and show you what to do. And he's not trying to make it a permanent position for you, but if you'd be willing to help out, you can talk to Bill.
In my Bible, the title of this set of scripture is simply love. The Holy Scripture talks about love in so many ways. I could quote scripture after scripture that describes the type of love we're talking about. This isn't a romantic kind of love between a man and a woman. It's a type of love that is a serving love, a love that wants only the best for the other person and raises them up. So think about this type of love as you listen to John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go forth and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I want to back up for just a second. Verse number 11 is what I'm concentrating on this morning. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, of course, is Jesus speaking to his disciples. The joy of salvation, and it intermingles with love. And normally when I preach on this set of the scripture, I would preach on love. But I've been wanting to preach on joy and rejoicing, so I skipped the lectionary passage, and I'm preaching a kind of a topical sermon this morning about joy and happiness and rejoicing. There's something that we all do, whether we are little babies or senior adults. The doctors say it's good medicine. It relieves stress and can cure headaches, help fight infections, and even alleviate hypertension. In fact, when we engage in this activity, there are well-documented physical effects that are along the lines of exercise. Muscles in the abdomen, chest, shoulders, and elsewhere contract, and heart rate and blood pressure can increase. In one burst of this activity, the pulse can double from 60 to 120, and the blood pressure can shoot from normal 120 to 200. And once we stop this activity, heartbeat and blood pressure can also dip below normal, which is a sign of reduced stress. Now, what is this beneficial activity? It's simply known as laughing. That's why I like to use humor in sermons, because it relieves the tension that you might have, it relaxes you, and I think it helps you to settle down and listen better. Laughter is good for you, and laughter is also healthy. Solomon knew that. He said in Proverbs 17, "A merry heart does good like medicine." But as you know, we don't always feel like laughing. And the reason that we do laugh, generally speaking, is because something has made us happy. But we don't always laugh because we're not always happy. But there is a delight, a gladness of heart, a rapture, if you will, in the soul that goes beyond and above happiness, and it is called joy. Now, there's a difference, I think, between joy and happiness. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness depends on our outward circumstances. Joy depends on inward character. Happiness depends upon what happens to you. Joy depends upon who lives within you. Happiness is based on chance. Joy is based on choice. The word happiness comes from an old English word, hap, which literally means chance. It corresponds to the Latin fortuna, which means luck. If things happen the way we want them to happen, then we are happy. But if they don't happen the way we want them to happen, then we are unhappy. Happiness is temporary. Happiness is fickle. Joy is permanent, and joy is settled within our nature. One of the greatest and most attractive qualities both a church and a Christian can have is joy within that person and within that church. I want our church to be known as the Fellowship of Joy, because I want people to find joy when they come to Glenshaw Valley. And I think that joy has to start from the top down. It has to be with me. It has to be with the session, the deacons, all the committees and teams and fellowships that we have. We had our last session meeting. I couldn't sleep after the last session meeting. I literally could not sleep. Sometimes I can't sleep because, oh, that was a tough meeting. But session meeting, this last one, was so good. The spirit has changed, and there's a sense of joy and happiness even, and rejoicing now in the session meeting. The whole dynamics have changed, and it was a pleasure. And I went home with a sense of rejoicing after the last session meeting. Now you say, well, everybody just agreed with you. No, not at all. There's disagreement. That's okay. That's even healthy. But disagreeing in the proper way, getting to where we want to go together, led by the Holy Spirit, that we can rejoice that He is leading us where He wants us to go. And I'm excited about that. Very, very excited. Unfortunately, the world has caricatured Christians as being primarily purveyors of doom and gloom, prophets of sadness and sorrow, who condemn any fun as sin. In fact, someone once gave the definition of a Puritan: a person who suffers from the overwhelming dread that somewhere, sometime, somehow, someone is going to have some fun. Well, I want you to know that Christianity is to be nothing less than a festival of joy. We should be the happiest people upon the face of this earth, the most joyous people that there are. Because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Creator of the whole entire universe, and He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." We should be joyous and we should enjoy life all the time. The words joy and joyful are used 250 times in the Bible. The word rejoice is used 200 times in the Bible. So over 450 times we are told to be joyful and to rejoice. The psalmist said, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." Evangelist Billy Sunday wisely and rightly said, "If you have no joy in your religion, there is a leak in your Christianity." Do you know why Jesus said all that He said and why Jesus taught all that He taught? He said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, the joy of Jesus, may remain in you," His disciples. And He's speaking to His apostles, but He's also speaking to us today, "in you, that your joy may be full." Jesus wants us to have His joy. It's a wonderful thing. You see, when you get Jesus, you get Jesus's joy also. The Apostle Peter speaks of this joy in the first chapter of his first epistle. He tells us that we can find joy if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is joy in the gift of salvation. Second Peter calls us the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Getting kind of theological here. That is, we have been chosen to be a part of the family of God. Good Presbyterian theology there. Furthermore, he says, "Though now you do not see him, yet believing you receive with joy his inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There's no greater joy than the joy of being saved. Knowing that you were saved and knowing what you have been saved for. We've not been given salvation to endure. We have been given salvation to enjoy. Isaiah said, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." There are two words in the Bible that are first cousins, joy and grace. The word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A. The Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. Both words come from the same root, for the grace of God always produces joy of God. Grace is the root of salvation. Joy is the fruit of salvation. The great composer Haydn once asked why sacred compositions had such glad ring and tone to them. He said, "I cannot compose anything without it, for I translate in the music the state of my very heart." Notice he was so excited about his salvation and his relationship with Jesus that it came out in his music. So when I think of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap from my pen. Have you ever stopped to think what it is that you've been saved for? Have you ever thought about the benefits package that comes with salvation? We're always worrying about benefits package when we get a job. Or what are my health benefits, my dental, my 401? But how about your eternal benefits package? The one that lasts forever. It can't be taken away from you. 1 John says, "All of your sins are forgiven." All your sins are forgiven. You're a child of, in the family of God. You're one of God's children. You're guaranteed a home in heaven, says in 1 Peter. God is always with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit never leaves you, never forsakes you. You have received eternal life in John. You cannot die, John 11 says. God works everything out for your good in Romans 8. God will hear and answer your prayers in 1 John 5. You will spend eternity with Jesus and his people, John 14. That ought to set the joy bells ringing in every one of our hearts and our minds. Then there's the joy of sanctification. Big theological word. After the gift of salvation comes the process of sanctification, being set apart for God. Peter goes on to say in verse 2 that we're not only elect or chosen. God says, I elect you, I choose you to be one of my children. But we're also in sanctification in the Spirit. That is, there is not only a joy in being saved, there's a joy in living like you've been saved. And you know that you're destined for heaven. There's no one and nothing that can rob you of your salvation. And Peter said in verse 4, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. You have a home in heaven reserved for you that cannot be canceled out. You don't get there and say, overbooked, we're filled, can't come in. But there is someone and there is something that can rob you of your joy, of your salvation. And that someone is you, and that something is sin. The one thing that can rob you of your joy is sin, and the only kind of sin that can rob you of your joy is your sin. After David had confessed his sin with Bathsheba and asked God for forgiveness, he said in Psalm 51:12, restore me the joy of your salvation. You see, sorrow follows sin just as surely as day follows night. If you are bound to sin, you are bound to suffer. The very first thing that goes out the window of your heart in the moment you close the curtains obeying God is the joy of your salvation. Then there's joy in service. Salvation and sanctification automatically should lead to service in the kingdom of God. I don't mean an official board or anything, but just serving God where you're at and what you do. Many Christians have no joy in their life because they're not doing anything for God. They expect everything to be done for them. Scripture says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. A healthy tree is a fruit-bearing tree, and the only happy tree is a healthy tree. A healthy tree is a tree that does what a tree ought to do, which is bear good fruit. A psychologist at Stanford University tried to show that real joy only comes when we're productive in our lives, so he hired a logger. Cuts down trees with an axe was his job. So he said, I will double your salary if you just take an axe handle and you hit on that tree all day long. No blade, just take the axe handle. Logger did it for about a half a day and he stopped. The psychologist went over to him and said, why did you stop? You're making twice the money. Logger said, because every time I move an axe, I have to see the chips fly. If I don't see the chips fly, it's no fun. Many Christians are taking the dull end of the axe, simply banging away on logs that are really no heavenly good. They're producing no fruit, and because of that, they don't have joy in their life, and they want to rob you of your joy. There's joy in surrender. Peter goes on to say, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There is no greater joy than being fully, totally, and completely surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. One of the most joyful Christians, according to writings and accounts, is Salvation Army founder William Booth. Someone once said, Dr. Booth, would you please tell us what is your secret to your joy? Booth said, it's very simple. I never say no to the Lord. If you were to take a fish at the ocean and place that fish up on the sand, and you begin to watch his gills gasp, and his scales begin to dry up. Now, is that fish full of joy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, how would you give that fish joy? If you covered him with a mountain of cash, would that make the fish joyful? What if you got him a beach chair and some sunglasses and some suntan lotion and a nice Coca-Cola? Would that make him happy? No, that's not going to make the fish happy. Do you know what would fill that fish full of joy? To take him off the sand and put him back in the ocean. Because the fish was not made to live on sand, he was made to live in the ocean. That's his natural habitat. He was made for the ocean. And we as Christians sometimes forget that in the larger scheme of things, because we get so caught up in this life, that we are truly made for something beyond this. Eternal life. And we need to hold on to that concept. Not that we're not supposed to enjoy this life. We are to enjoy this life and our relationship with God now. But I want to tell you, you cannot have joy on this earth unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why there's so many miserable people in this world. They don't know. You were made to know him. You were born to know him. You were destined to know him. You were made to love him. And when you give your life to Jesus, you will have that everlasting joy. But you have to allow it to rise up and become a part of you. You cannot suppress it. God loves you. God wants you to be joyous. He wants us all to rejoice. Let's make sure we do it. Let's make sure we present to one another, to our family, and to the world that it is a joy to know Jesus Christ as our Lord. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, how appropriate. 411, The Joy of the Lord.
They can all be fleeting and temporary. But a joyous relationship
with Jesus Christ is eternal. Let's celebrate what will last forever. Let's go with a joyous heart, a melody in our heart that we share with the world. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.